This is the State of Things broadcasting from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. Innovation is thriving across the state of North Carolina, and communities are becoming more intentional about providing spaces that nurture creative thinking. The Institute for Emerging Issues is spotlighting some of these innovation spaces this week in a two-day forum. Joining us to talk about these innovation hubs is Anita Brown Graham. She's the director of the Institute for Emerging Issues. Anita, welcome. Good to have you.
Well, thank you, Frank. It's wonderful to be with you, as always.
Also with us, two finalists for Spaces Challenge, Robin Cape of the Collider in Asheville. Hello, Robin.
Hello, Frank. Thanks for having us here today.
My pleasure. Melissa Thibault is with us as well from the North Carolina School for Science and Math. Hi, Melissa.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be with our neighbors here in Durham.
Great to have you. Also, I want to welcome Dan Rosselli. He's the co-founder of Packard Place, a home for entrepreneurship in Charlotte. Hello, Dan.
Hello, Frank. Thank you.
Sure thing. Anita, tell us a little bit about this Innovation Spaces Challenge. Why is it important to have it at this year's forum?
Well, this year's forum is going to focus more broadly on the issue of innovation. And in fact, we're looking at how we need to reconstruct North Carolina's innovation systems. We're really looking at many parts of what it takes to be a strong innovation economy. But one of the things that was clear to us is as we look at cities and towns all across the state, people are paying particular attention to those spaces that bring together the right economic assets, the right physical assets, and the right networking assets in order to have innovation flourish. We wanted to be sure that the entire state knew the diversity of approaches that were taking place and had an opportunity to really weigh in on the ones that they saw as being the most promising.
If you were going to do your PowerPoint now and had to do five bullet points on what it takes to incubate or to create innovative space, and I ask you to bring it down to 3 points, what would those top 3 points be? What does it take to make that space happen?
I think you need three things. You need, first, a space that feels authentic to the environment. So for some places, we're here broadcasting at the American Tobacco Campus, nothing more authentic to downtown Durham. You also need some anchor tenants that can really serve as a magnet for other innovators. And then the third thing you need is to be able to facilitate a sort of collaboration. So it's not just about having people in proximity. You need people who are actually connecting to each other, collaborating with each other, bringing the diversity of perspectives together in order for innovation to thrive.
Well, that's an interesting. And that's when cities and communities become intentional. They have those things in mind.
Absolutely.
If they're smart, to make it happen. And, of course, the original incubator for this kind of innovation has always been the school, particularly a public school. And we're lucky to have one in North Carolina, which had always been associated with a commitment to education. It certainly historically had been that way. Melissa, the School for Science and Math is probably the original space for innovation in North Carolina. Tell us about that, why that space is so important for innovation, or whether or not it matters to innovation that there is that space.
For the School of Science and Mathematics to serve the entire state is a tremendous and groundbreaking opportunity. We have had a vision in North Carolina that every community, no matter their zip code, has students in that community who understand their local community's needs, but also are highly able, talented students that need just that additional resource, time, and, as Anita had referred to, connections with their colleagues, connections with their potential leaders of the future. And so our school started out as a residential school, and as technology enabled, we moved into broadcast, we moved into online, and we've moved into digital assets and video conferencing. All those areas allow us to meet our students where they are and to engage effectively with those communities.
Interesting to think about that relationship. You start as a place where you cultivate this environment, where you screen, you bring students, there's outreach, you find them, you bring them together, you bring the teachers together, they're in a space. And as that idea grows, you're then in a space or in a place where you can start now broadcast and in a sense telecommute education.
And our network is, at the same time as we don't have place, we have all places. In other words, we are in a presence in communities around the state. So it's not that we're just an innovative space that is without time and place. We're actually inclusive of every part of time and space.
Well, Dan Roselli, let's talk a little bit about what's going on in Charlotte. You've been working with Innovative Spaces. Tell us a little bit about Packard Place.
Yeah, so Packard Place is coming up on its four-year anniversary here. And in the middle of the Great Recession, we decided it'd be a swell idea to go buy a downtown office building in Charlotte. So we bought a building that's almost 90,000 square feet, and we turned it into the Entrepreneurship Center here in Charlotte. And, you know, you ask kind of the things that make spaces work, and for us, we'd really boil it down to one word, not three. We'd say it's all about community. It's all about the people that are in the building and having the right people in the building that it kind of accelerates that sense of innovation and draws more innovators in.
You did this in Ward 3 in Charlotte, am I right?
Yes, correct.
And that was a space, as you said, also at the height of the recession, not a lot of building going on. Distressed community, how would you describe the community at the time,
yeah, so
economically?
Absolutely. So the third ward of Charlotte, if you know Charlotte's divided into wards, I think was particularly hard hit during the Great Recession. A lot of the plans for the park and the baseball stadium and all that got put on hold and on ice. And this building, as a matter of fact, was supposed to be torn down and turned into a condominium. And we bought it in a short sale right before it went into foreclosure. So one of the silver linings, and I think this is true about innovation, you know, one of the silver linings of the Great Recession is it allowed for innovation to happen because other things had to spring up and fill the void. And without the Great Recession, Packard Place and the entrepreneurship hub it is doesn't happen.
So what kind of things go on in there now?
Well, so we describe it as a really large community crowdsourced project. The very first thing we did when we bought the building is took one of the big empty floors, had a great DJ, an open bar, and got 400 people from the community to come out and challenged them to say, what do we do with this platform, this blank canvas? What do we make of it? And so the community rallied around, what is it that we need? So, for example, on the first floor, there's a digital cafe where entrepreneurs can sit and interact with each other and get free coffee and free internet access. There's a big meeting room that we allow all the entrepreneurial groups to use for free. You know, so everyone from the tech group to the pitch group to the Charlotte Angel Fund meets in that space. And it really has become literally the heart and soul of the entrepreneurship community in Charlotte.
What kind of things go on in terms of you know, who's there and what are they designing? What kinds of products are coming out of there?
Yeah, so there's 100-plus companies in the building and the full spectrum. There's an energy accelerator, so focused on energy, called CLT Joules for the British Unit of Energy. There's an incubator for social entrepreneurship called Queen City Forward, for-profit companies trying to make positive social impacts in society. And then there's an accelerator that I run called the Queen City FinTech for Financial Services Technology Program that focus on financial services technology. We just announced a class this week of 10 new companies. We had companies apply from 22 countries around the world and 23 different states and ended up taking less than 7% of the applicants in. So people literally fighting from all around the world to come to Charlotte, North Carolina to incubate their financial services tech company.
Well, I think that leads to another question around the whole issue of developing these hubs and centers. Dan, as you say, you came up with a creative use for a space. People had one plan. The recession hits. Uh-oh, what do? Think on your feet. You make this incubator. And now there has been other development around it, not necessarily devoted to innovation, but just because you're there, there's more business that grows up around your space.
Yeah, we think the whole Third Ward revitalization, you know, I can't say that we can take credit for that, but we were certainly one of the first major dominoes to fall coming out of the recession to really put our chips in the middle of the table and bet on the Third Ward of Charlotte and say, we're willing to go take this risk because we know good things are going to happen. And Packard Place and the thriving 20-something, 30-something, real innovative, creative culture class folks that are here are part of the assets of the Third Ward of Charlotte now.
Robin, tell us about the Collider in Asheville.
Well, first, I have to commend Dan and the great work they've done and realize that innovation spawns more innovation. Things like what's happening in Durham and what's happening in Charlotte was part of the foundation on which we said, you know what, we've got this innovative culture cluster here in Asheville. Why don't we take these same kind of risks and see what we can do with it? Asheville's home to the National Climatic Data Center, which is the world's largest archive of climate data. And as we're all waking up to the challenges and the opportunities that arise around this changing world, we're recognizing the role of that data in helping innovate and spawn new businesses, new responses, and new solutions for everyone. So our space, the Collider, built on those same elements, a space that's authentic to our town, with anchor tenants who are working and who are leaders in this sphere, and our organization, the Collider, facilitating the collaboration, the community, and the relationships. We're going into this, and I am excited to have the same kind of results that Dan and Durham is having.
Is it all climate-based research and innovation?
We are really focusing on that. You know, there is something to accelerating and bringing a group of people with a shared focus together. So climate, you know, sounds like it's one small thing. Actually, a lot of things reside inside our climate. It's environment, it's energy efficiency, it's consulting, it's visualization, it's communication. There are many things, but yes, we're focused on how do we build on the climate data resources that are available here, along with global experts, you know, Nobel Peace Prize winners, people who understand this data better than anyone else.
Well, it's interesting. I mean, it's a way of reframing the idea of competitive advantage, right? You find things in your community that you're good at. But one of the things you may have found in Asheville, and I think we find in communities all over, if there's not a hub, if there's not a nucleus, and I happen to be good at this, I might have to leave. I might have to go somewhere else. But so to what extent do you think, Robin, you may have played a part in encouraging people to stay?
Oh, well, we've already heard that, Frank. It's really very exciting to look at the many talented people we have in this town who have said, you know, I thought I had to leave if I wanted to be successful. But what you're doing here, I'm going to stay. I'm going to stay here and put a stake in the ground and build my business from this spot. We are attracting some national partners that we're very excited about. The potential to collide national and international. I fielded a call just yesterday from a person with a big business in the UK that wants to have a spot inside the Collider. We're bringing people from all around who want to be in that. And innovation, you know, the very nature of innovation implies a collaboration because it's not something necessarily original, but it's bringing together existing ideas in novel ways. And so that implies there's already stuff going on. You got to take this application into operation. And so that's the space we're setting up to collide these people already working in it and see what happens.
See what happens. Melissa, as you think about what goes on at the School of Science and Math and then distance education, again, this notion of having a center, a real place to start from, now you've got students in far-flung outposts, but they're learning from this center. Does that do anything, and do you have any evidence, I guess, to suggest that it would encourage people to stay right where they are and generate some of these hubs? They're good at what they're doing. They've collaborated with people through the school in distance education. I could stay right here in Greenville. I could stay right here in Wilson.
We do. We have a lot of evidence that our alums are very interested in staying in North Carolina. They have been contributing significantly to the economic development of our state. 10% of them are of the alums that have been state of business owners. Many people are involved in some of the larger companies and startups around the state. What they have is a sense of community and place. They're tethered to their community. And our instruction builds on that. So we're working with our with the local economy and the local schools to engage the students in career-relevant and community-relevant work, which allows them to circle back and solve the problems in their home communities.
Anita, what do we do at the community level to encourage this? If we want to be intentional about this, what does it take in terms of now I'm thinking just in terms of public policy at every level, local and state.
Well, what we've seen recently with these new innovations, and you hear it in Charlotte and you hear it in Asheville, there are real partnerships between the private and the public sector. And the public sector is really understanding that it has to do some of the infrastructure work in order to make these things feasible. We're seeing this in the Innovation Quarter in Winston-Salem and seeing it in HQ Raleigh. All of a sudden, this real sense of energy across North Carolina for public sector officials to say, we've got spaces that ought to be feasible and functional. They ought to promote economic development. Let's work effectively with private sector leadership to make sure that that happens.
And of course, I guess the biggest element or one of the biggest elements in that infrastructure would be public education, right?
You got it. Well, that's certainly very important. So I would be remiss if I didn't point out that Melissa and the North Carolina School of Science and Math actually won the Institute for Emerging Issues Space for Innovation Challenge. We had 23 entrants. Only one of them was a school. And interestingly, our judges and the public voting all concurred about what was going on at the School of Science and Math, in large part, I think, because you are proving that while the physical space is important, technology gives us an opportunity to think about virtual hubs of innovation districts in a way that we're only beginning to explore.
We're talking about innovation in North Carolina today on The State of Things. Anita Brown Graham is one of my guests, Dan Rosselli, Robin Cape, and Melissa Thibault. And when we talk about these things, Dan Rosselli, you mentioned Queen City Forward. We've heard Bull City Forward, and we know there are incubators in Raleigh as well. And one of the things you said about it is that these are people who are doing innovation, but also thinking about doing good within their community. They want to bring their community along with them. This is some new thinking that goes along with young professionals these days, or at least young industries. Tell us more about that and why that plays a part now in so many incubators.
Yeah, it really is a trend nationally. It's moving forward that I think North Carolina is playing a national leadership role on. Sometimes we also call this conscious capitalism. How do we take the free market forces, the power of entrepreneurship, and do good with it? And so that's what Queen City Forward is focused on. So think what Tom's Shoes has done, or a Goodwill Industries, or Newman's Own before that. I think this generation wants to be successful entrepreneurs. They want to make money, but it's all not about greed. It's about total impact, and that's profit impact and social impact on our community. And if you make a ton of money, but you lay waste to your employees and the community in the process, that's not what this generation is going to be about. And importantly, don't take for a second that to mean that they're not everybody's aggressive about being entrepreneurs and being successful, but it's the balance of doing this in a sustainable way that's really important to them. And we actually think Packard Place is one of the big social entrepreneurship projects in Charlotte, because those community services I talked about earlier, like the garage and the meeting space, we give back to the community for free instead of renting it out. And we think that the balance of making our mortgage payment, getting a return for the investment, and giving back to the community. So, for example, we give away $7,000 a year in free coffee to entrepreneurs to help them come in the space and feel at home.
Frank, if I might interject, there's one other impact that this new generation is having. It's really changing the way we think about physical spaces that support innovation. So this is a generation that's looking for density and proximity. They want to be able to live, work, play, all in the same spaces, which means that we're not looking at sprawling research parks anymore. We're looking at compact areas like Packard Place and some of the others that have been mentioned.
It might also speak to the nature of this new economy, that the industrial economy may have promoted competition, separation, and sort of far-flung suburbs, mm-hmm. and long commutes. The information-based industry, this new industry that we're promoting, really does promote collaboration.
Absolutely.
It promotes people getting together and not flying apart. And so I guess the states and the localities that catch on to that first, that collaboration now is the new competition, might be the first and the leaders, I guess, in this industry going forward.
There'll be no question about that.
Great to talk with all of you on the program today. Anita Brown Graham, Director of the Institute for Emerging Issues. Robin Cape is the Project Accelerator at Asheville's The Collider. Melissa Thibault is Vice Chancellor for Distance Education and Extended Programs at North Carolina School of Science and Math. Dan Rosselli, co-founder of Packard Place in Charlotte. Thank all of you for being on the program.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you.
And thank you for listening to The State of Things. There's more of the program just ahead. Stay tuned.